T-minus 5 seconds to critical mass.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Welcome to a very special edition of PDGA Radio, where we now bring you a condensed version of the 2009 Disc Golf Hall of Fame ceremony, which was held Friday night, July 31st, as part of the 2009 PDGA World Disc Golf Championships in Kansas City. This year's inductees were Michael Sullivan of Toronto, Canada, along with Lynn Warren and Crazy John Brooks, both from Kansas City. The ceremony was led by Al Speedy Guerrero and is next right here on PDGA Radio. Located on the scenic shores of Clark's Hill Lake in Columbia County, Georgia, is the Mecca of Disc Golf, the PDGA International Disc Golf Center, a must-see for anyone who's ever played the sport. With a full-service pro shop, state-of-the-art training center, and championship-caliber courses, it will challenge and improve every aspect of your game. Also, visit the Ed Hedrick Memorial Museum, home of the Disc Golf Hall of Fame, and don't forget about the IDGC monthly tournaments the first Saturday of every month. Yes, it's all at the world's premier destination for the sport of disc golf, the PDGA International Disc Golf Center.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Hall of Fame induction ceremony. The Hall of Fame celebrates contributors to the sport whose passion transcends personal gain. And the charter since 1993 places the best of our pioneers, our promoters, and our performers in the limelight that they deserve. Our goal is to preserve the history of disc golf. The Hall of Fame develops with the help of many associates, and thanks to Innova Disc Golf for producing the commemorative disc. Thanks to Marty Hapner and Juliana Korber for their help with the website, discgolfhalloffame.org. Thanks also to Todd Briner from Lynx Disc Golf Services for all his continued support. Rick Rothstein from Disc Golf World News for his guidance. And to the PDGA for the support and their museum space. The International Disc Golf Center has provided us with a museum. It's wonderful. It's respectable. Just the way you always dreamed of. So come out to Augusta and join us. Lastly, I'd like to thank the members of the Hall of Fame for protecting the integrity of the institution. And I'd like to present now the founder and member of Hall of Fame for a few words, LeVon Wolf.
Over the last several years, I've had a lot of people from time to time call me and ask me about the items that's in the Disc Golf Hall of Fame and what we're trying to accomplish there. If you ever have an opportunity to visit the museum, when you go in the museum, as you move around, you'll notice that we go from the old antiques and progress all the way through the discs that we use today. I know there's a lot of collectors out there and people that have what I would consider to be museum-type collectibles. We've got a lot of modern-day discs, and we've got some odds and ends, but as we grow, when you want to part with those collectibles, if you'd contact me, I'm either willing to buy them if it's a reasonable price, and also willing to take donations. Even this week, we've gotten a couple of really nice items, and I really do appreciate the donations that we've gotten. The main thing, those of you, as you're out there traveling, if you see an item that's really a museum-type piece and it doesn't need to be lost and disappear, when occasionally a lot of these things are happening, I know our Japanese friends tend to take a lot of items back to Japan, and they're going to be gone and lost forever if they're not put in a museum. Maybe one day we'll really have the space to display all the items that we do have. So if you get the opportunity or have the occasion to see something that's available, if you would, please contact me and remember us maybe in your will when you want to donate those collectibles in the future. Thank you.
The first presenter of the night was Hall of Famer David Greenwell, who spoke about Michael Sullivan, PDGA number 3028.
When I first met Michael Sullivan in the early 80s, he was a freestyler who could do other events, and pretty well, I might add. Mike and I hit it off right away. He was like a little ball of energy, kind of like a rubber band that was wound almost too tight, ready to unwind with a flurry of athletic moves. Mikey was quite a showman until it came to putting. Mikey was scared to death of putting. It was a good thing for the rest of us because about the only thing he wasn't good at was putting. He was a great competitor. Mikey was one of the best drivers in the business. He had both great form and great power for someone of such small stature. Playing doubles with him was a hoot. Some of the most fun I ever had playing disc golf. Mikey would go from Samson off the tee to Delilah when it came to putting. No offense to the women. Delilah didn't know how to play disc golf. I can't remember one putt that it didn't seem like he was going to have a nervous breakdown. Not one. And again, how lucky for the rest of us, because Mikey was awesome. What a great player, a great friend, and a major contributor to the sport of disc golf. His inscription reads, Michael Sullivan grew up in Toronto Island, where he discovered flying disc sports in 1978. By age 16, he was the overall Canadian Open champion. Driven to win, Sully was renowned for using superb driving form and power to master a disc golf course. His record includes several world top five finishes, world doubles titles, and the World Games silver medal. As an athlete and as a professional businessman, he exemplifies professionalism. Michael's love of the game is reflected in his generous contributions toward disc sports in Ontario. He will always be a great player, a great friend, and a great friend of disc golf.
Brian Henniger then had the honor of reading his acceptance speech.
As we know, Michael couldn't be here today. He is finishing some business contracts before going on overseas holiday with his lady Esther. But he did send me his acceptance speech the last few days, and it is my privilege to read it to you. From Michael. When I first started to play frisbee in the summer of 1978, I was a kid at our summer cottage on the Toronto Islands. It would have been impossible to imagine then that my passion for the game would lead to this recognition from the Hall of Fame now. I truly am honored to be named to the Disc Golf Hall of Fame along with my fellow inductees Lynn and Craze. And I've always stood in awe of the greatest players in the history of the game, so it feels humbling and awe-inspiring that you've decided to put me in their company. Thank you very much. At the age of 13, I was part of a large group of kids who'd make a game out of anything. Whether we were racing kayaks, playing baseball, running, or trying to break a light bulb with a rock, a personal favorite, at the end of the day, someone was going to have the bragging rights. Then Scott Stein, a fellow Islander, introduced us to frisbee golf. When I threw a frisbee for the first time, it was a whole new toy. It wasn't a ball, it wasn't a bow and arrow, it was something that could take flight in a way that nothing else could. Scott was my first mentor, the guy who motivated me to get good at this game. At the time, he was an accomplished freestyler and the guy to beat. I was hooked. We designed a course and played religiously. I wasn't aware there were others across the planet who were playing the game and who were addicted to it as much as I was. For me, it was just Scott Stein and the course record. But it didn't take long for the trajectory of my disc golf career to begin its arc. 2 years after I threw my first frisbee, I played in a disc golf tournament for the first time and won. 2 years after that, Ed Hedrick, the father of disc golf, came to Canada to install two courses in Toronto. Hitting trees and poles had been fun, but he introduced us to the wonders of pole holes, which brought the game to a whole new level. That same summer, I also met two other legends of the game, Jim Palmieri, who came to Toronto to play in the Canadian Open, and Dan Stork-Roddick at the World Junior Frisbee Championships in Las Vegas. In 1982, I traveled for the first time to a PDGA Tour event in Kentucky, the Throw for the Roses, and met the man who would become an idol and a lifelong friend. I'll never forget a larger-than-life character walking up to me to talk about freestyle, David Greenwell. I'm honored to be your friend, David, and I'm incredibly thankful for your support over the years. Within a few months, I played with Johnny Sias and Steve Weiskopf for the first time, two great players and two great all-around guys. Then I went to Rutgers, New Jersey, to the World Frisbee Championships. I got my first taste of Snapper. Snapper Pearson, that is. The conditions were crazy, and Snapper played brilliantly. In 1983, I traveled to the West Coast for the first time to play in Santa Monica at the World Beach Bowl Championships, then to Santa Cruz for the World Flying Disc Championships. Standing at the first tee with three strangers, another relationship started. I was about to throw, and I asked the group, "About how far do you think this hole is?" The response from the big guy was, "About 350. I walked up and knocked it about 8 feet from the pin. Then it started. "This isn't no 350. There's no way it's 350. It's more like 290. Yeah, it's about 290. The next guy in the group came up and left it 50 feet short. Then the next guy left it 50 feet short. Then the big guy stepped up and threw it 50 feet long and 50 feet wide. All the way to the hole, they were muttering that I must have had a tailwind. It might be 350. Is it 350? I had just been introduced to Johnny and Jeff Lissaman and Frank Aguilera. My first PDJ Worlds came in 1984, and I managed a fairly good showing, playing in the top group with Tava Greenwell and two other Hall of Fame members. The first was one of the classiest disc golfers I have ever met, Alan Beaver. I'd spent an entire round wasting time watching the footwork of another Hall of Famer, Sam Farrens, as he kicked up dust and chalk. Alan suggested my time would be better spent focusing on the game. I carried that advice with me from that day on. Thanks, Alan. You were and are a true gentleman. Sam and I got over that shaky start. He's managed to get me to Japan on four different occasions, including his wedding. All unforgettable experiences. For all you disc golfers, if there was one must-do, I'd say go to Japan. I left North America for the first time for the 1985 WIFDIF World Championships in Sweden, then won the first annual Seppo Niemann and Finnish Flying Disc Open. Those were two great experiences. There would be many more milestones over the years, which included a second and then a third consecutive World Doubles title with David Greenwell. But there were losses, too, to people like Greg Hosfeldt, and a kid from Florida called Ken Climo. I owe much of my success outside of disc golf to Kenny. After watching him play, I realized I should give serious thought to another career to earn a living. Although it sounds like a cliche, I have to say that sometimes it doesn't matter whether you win or lose, it's where you play the game. I had the good fortune to represent Canada at the World Games in Akita. I lost to Barry Schultz in the gold medal match, but I was part of match play with amazing players from Canada, USA, United Kingdom, New Zealand, Japan, and Sweden. I never could have imagined this as a 13-year-old. Without the ongoing support for disc golf in my own community in Toronto, I never would have earned the privilege to play around the world. I owe a big debt of gratitude to Bob Blakely for organizing local events and for being such a selfless guy. He fostered a community atmosphere that led to 18 Canadians competing in Sweden in 1985. And I'll always have great memories of playing with Brian Henniger, Paul Burak, Greg Pinniger, Jeff Malton, Kim Scott Wood, Simon Newman, and all the others who spent weekends traveling with me and pushing me to try harder. I'd also like to thank my family for their support and generosity in helping me achieve all that I have and for the sacrifices they've made. Sacrifices that allowed me to follow my passion. This isn't just a sport, it's a place where lifelong friendships begin. I'm sure you felt the same sense of community and camaraderie at whatever level you're playing, whether you live in Hoboken, New Jersey, or Huntington Beach, California. We've all made bonds we cherish, and the most memorable games we play are the ones we play for fun and for friendship. Thank you again for this great honor.
Another Hall of Famer, Patty Kunkel, then introduced the second inductee of the night, Kansas City's own Lynn Warren, PDGA number 2876.
I'm honored to be here to honor Lynn Warren. On her plaque it says, "Through her writings and diplomatic PR editing skills, Lynn Warren has portrayed the players and the sport in the best possible light. A co-founder of Disc Golf World News, Lynn played an essential role in fostering communication connecting people, and recording the sports history. Fun-loving and vivacious, Lynn is an ambassador for disc golf, whose love and genuine care for people and the sport has touched the hearts of many. Lynn's commitment to teaching others how to improve and enjoy disc golf on a higher level, and her dedication to the goal of peaceful and respectful human interaction, has made a difference in a most unique and lasting way. This is a beautifully written plaque, and I'm proud of my friend for the honor that has been given to her. But I have to add that when I think of Lynn in the sport of disc golf, I think of someone with a fierce, fierce attitude. She loves this sport so much. We played so many years together. We played so much together, we got our own trophy so that we could have a competition and, you know, forget everybody else. Her fierceness was always a stunner to watch. I would enjoy watching her watching her throw, and her disc might go deep into a woods, and I'd think, oh no, now she's going to beat me. Because that woman had more skill at getting herself out of a jam than I think anyone I've ever played with. She had more shots in her arsenal and just used them in her love and dedication to this sport. I don't have any much more to say. I just want to get my girl Lynn up here.
Thank you so much. I am extremely honored. I can't even possibly tell you how honored I am. And if it got to the point, like, the first thing that I think of is thank yous. And, of course, that would be thanking everyone who plays disc golf. All the people, starting with these wonderful people here who have already been honored for their work in the sport. Without these people, there would not be what we have at all. It wouldn't even exist. When I first started playing disc golf, I don't even know how long ago, but we communicated by mail. There was not an internet. When we made phone calls to each other, it cost money. So we're way past all that now. We're in the land of immediate communication, but it wasn't like that. So it took great effort. And that's where Rick and I came into the sport, was trying to connect people and trying to record the history that was taking place, because it all was history. We were making history. And when we look out today and see the number of people who are playing in this world championship, it's unbelievable to us, because we just like throwing and playing disc golf and being with each other. That's the other part. The competition was always incredible. Disc golf it has golf within it. And so those of us that are drawn to golf and love throwing discs, it's such a natural. But what's important, really and truly, are the people in disc golf. My thanks are to everyone. It was always all of you who were encouraging, thanking us for articles, or thanking us for having communication. Your interaction with us. Thank you so much, everyone.
And finally, Rick Rothstein introduced the third and final inductee of the night, Crazy John Brooks, PDGA number 2022.
Well, it's a singular honor to introduce the next inductee, Crazy John Brooks. I joined the PDGA in 1983 and quickly found out about a tournament they were holding down in Kansas City called the Kansas City Wide Open. So I went. And in my first round, there was this guy there. He seemed to know everybody. He was talking up a storm. You know, I almost called him on a time violation, but I didn't have that kind of confidence back then. Well, it was crazy, of course. He's a really good player. I didn't know what to think of him. I didn't know what to think of him for several times after I met him. But then I got to know him better, and trying to describe crazy briefly is like, well, listening to him when he is on stage. But I just jotted down a few things that very few people in this world have been world champions in freestyle, which is a very difficult discipline, and disc golf. Crazy John is that way. He's also a teacher. He did the Frisbee instructional video many, many years ago. VCR. It might have been before that. Wherever he's gone, he's a musician. He's an artist. He's a craftsman. He's helped me with tourneys. He's helped me in publications. Wherever he's been, be it in Europe, Japan, the United States, he has the unusual ability when he is in the group to bring in the spectators, to make them part of it. I've seen it happen. Those who played in this group know what I'm talking about as well. So I'm just going to read his plaque and then invite Crazy John up on stage. So, Crazy John Brooks is among the very few who have excelled in two of the most demanding disciplines, freestyle and disc golf, winning multiple world titles in both. Armed with four discs and immense skill, he amazed galleries at six PDJ Worlds, four times on the top card. Tenacious as a competitor, he inspired and challenged other top players to achieve their best. Able to communicate with anyone, he became a disc golf ambassador, teacher, and member and mentor on three continents. His wildly spontaneous, musical, comedic, and artistic talent has made him a legendary figure who truly embodies the spirit of Frisbee. If the most fun does indeed win, Crazy will be forever victorious. And please, I welcome my friend, my brother, Crazy John Brooks.